Welcome to Susitna Writer's Voice, area writers reading their work.
Greetings. Welcome to the Spring Equinox edition of Stardate Susitna. I'm Kathleen Fleming. Right, so in this program, I'll talk about some aspects of this equinox and the moon and planets and stars, and I'll probably whine a little bit about temporal tampering. We'll take these topics, and not necessarily in that order. First, the moon. She was a powerful presence in the evening sky a couple weeks ago, but as a waning gibbous, she's left the evenings to the stars. And what an extreme lot of stars there have been. Under clear, dry, moonless skies, a person with average vision, after allowing for their eyes to adapt to the darkness, can see stars as faint as magnitude 6. There are about 3,000 stars above the horizon at one time that are magnitude 6 or brighter, though it may seem like millions. You can easily see the Milky Way if you wait until twilight has passed, which suddenly is an hour later. But without a strong telescope, you can't see that the Milky Way is made up of individual stars. When you look high in the west during late evening this week, you'll see, stretching south to north, the disk of our galaxy, the Milky Way, a mass of indistinct stars. All the 3,000 or so individual points of light you can count are here in our section of the galaxy, quite spectacular without moonlight. Similar to going from a dense, bright city out into the vast, dark countryside. That's kind of the difference between a moonlit and a moonless night sky. I have a very good view to the west, the low, distant rim of the Alaska Range where it curves southward. Saturday evening, the last ray of sun disappeared from my view about 4 minutes before the official time of sunset, which is calculated as though you are on the ocean with perfectly flat horizons. Shortly after the sunset, I could see the brilliant spot of light that is Venus, a bit more than a fist width above the horizon and a bit north of where the sun had gone down. An hour or so later, at 9:30, Venus was about 5 degrees or half a fist width above the horizon and still further north. The goddess of love set about 10 o'clock in the west-northwest. As the sky darkens after 10, Mars becomes visible in the west, below the modest stars of Aries. Mercury is climbing higher above the sunset horizon this week and may be relatively easy to see toward the end of March. Used to be that Jupiter was rising as early as 10 o'clock, but all of a sudden last week I had to wait until 11 to see Jupe above the east-southeast horizon. Late at night or early morning, noticed bright Jupiter, now obviously west of a lineup above Virgo's brightest star, Spica. It's fun to watch his retrograde dance. Saturn is low in the south at the time of sunrise, so not an easy target for Alaskans. Okay, here's a great opportunity for Venus lovers, particularly sweet as the challenge favors us in the far north. Seeing Venus both after sunset and before sunrise. Yeah, Carl Swanson brought this unusual situation to my attention many years ago, and I'm going to make a serious effort to look for the schizoid goddess as the morning star and the evening star all in one day. She is directly north of the sun on March 25th, but because of set and rise angles in the far northern latitudes, Venus will rise before the sun and set after the sun. I spent more time than I should have researching this today. It looks like Wednesday, the 22nd, provides a nice time spread between Venus and the sun in both the morning and the evening. That might be the ideal day to search the low eastern horizon around 7 to 7:30 a.m. and again after sunset in the low western horizon about 9 to 9:30. Okay, cool. Hoping for continued clear skies. The 2017 March equinox is on Monday the 20th, 10:29 Universal Time, subtract 8 hours to get Alaska Daylight Time, and is at 2:29 a.m. here. To explain the significance of this moment, let's take a look at a globe. Globes are held at the north and south geographic poles, the axis of Earth's spin, at 90 degrees north and south. But they're not straight up and down. Globes are tilted, as is the Earth. The table that you put the globe on is flat, level, and represents the plane of Earth's orbit around the Sun. The axis of rotation is tipped 23.5 degrees relative to the plane of our orbit. So the Earth goes around the Sun always tipped toward Polaris, the North Star. On the winter solstice, the North Geographic Pole is pointing the full 23.5 degrees away from the Sun, and of course, toward Polaris. And on the opposite side of our orbit, the North Pole's 23.5 degree tilt, still with the pole pointing towards Polaris, is tipped toward the Sun. In between, on the equinoxes, neither pole is tipped toward or away from the Sun. North and South are equidistant from El Sol. The Sun traverses the sky, revealing the celestial equator as it is directly above Earth's equator. And for all locations on Earth, on the equinoxes, the Sun is above the horizon for the same amount of time as it is below the horizon. 12 and 12, equal. Equinox means equal night. It doesn't matter if you're in Barrow, Alaska or Sydney, Australia. 12 up and 12 down. I think of this as the hinge of the year. After the March equinox, northerly latitudes have more daylight than latitudes further south as the northern hemisphere approaches summer. Of course, in the southern hemisphere, they will decline from 12 hours of daylight as they approach their winter season. Anyway, the equinoxes, spring and fall, are the hinge days when everyone is equal, El Sol being overhead at the equator, and the Sun rises due east for every place and sets due west everywhere over the entire globe. See what an impressive day this is? 2017, March 20th, 10:29 a.m. Universal Time is the exact moment of perfect balance. Now, you may have noticed that on Monday, we have more than exactly 12 hours of sun uptime. That's just because of refraction, the bending of light as it passes through the atmosphere, and because of the way the sun rise and set moments are determined. Not with half the sun up and down, but with just one ray of sun above the horizon. Both of these reasons add to the sun up side of the equation. If horizons are clear, check the sunset location Sunday and Monday evenings. That's close to due west. And Monday or Tuesday mornings, check the sunrise locations, depending on the height of your horizon. That's close to due east. And if you can swing by the Talkeetna Elementary School Monday or Tuesday evening around 8:10 to observe Talhenge, an alignment phenomena that proves that the school is situated on an ancient druidic ceremonial and celestial calendar site aligned with the equinox setting sun. It's just too perfect to be a coincidence. Well, I'll be working at the school those evenings. Front doors will be open. Come on in and follow the signs to Talhenge. Join the harmonica class, the b-ball players, wool dyeing class, and ping pongers observing the Talhenge phenomena. A bit more about the celestial significance of the March equinox, remembering that the Earth is moving around the Sun, with the North Geographic Pole always pointing askew, not straight up relative to the plane of our orbit, but over toward Polaris, the star at the end of the Little Dipper's handle, or more accurately, the tip of the tail of the little bear, Ursa Minor. So, it just appears that the Sun moves up and down in our sky through the year, but in reality, of course, the Sun is stationary. Still, if you could block out the light of the Sun whenever you want instead of waiting for a rare solar eclipse, you'd see the background of stars around the Sun and see that the Sun's path through the stars goes through the zodiac constellations. In summer, the Sun is in the furthest north zodiac, Taurus and Gemini. In midwinter, El Sol moves through the furthest south zodiac, Scorpio and Sagittarius. The range of the ecliptic, the apparent path of the Sun through the background stars, is 23.5 degrees north of the celestial equator at midsummer to 23.5 degrees below the celestial equator at the northern hemisphere's midwinter. And between these two extremes, when the Sun crosses the celestial equator, Those are the equinoxes. The spring equinox occurs at the moment when the sun climbing up from the southern constellations crosses the celestial equator into the northern hemisphere of the sky. And that moment is 2:29 a.m. Alaska Daylight Time, Sunday night, Monday morning. This northbound equator crossing moment in the solar year is considered the beginning of the sun's cycle along the ecliptic. It's sort of the equivalent of the 0-degree longitude line on Earth, somewhat arbitrary where you start. Longitude measurements east and west begin in Greenwich, England. The zero-hour right ascension line in the sky begins at the March equinox crossing point. This point used to be in Aries the Ram, referred to as the first point of Aries. But due to the phenomenon of precession of the equinoxes, a 26,000-year wobble in Earth's axis, the spring equinox now occurs while the sun is in Pisces. The March equinox marks the beginning of the sun's circuit through the zodiac constellations. So I'm going to say Happy New Year and suggest you celebrate with a rare sighting of a special alignment at the Tolkien Elementary School Monday evening a little after 8 p.m. I had so many interesting topics to investigate for this program. I think I got off track a time or two. Sorry if it seems disjointed. Hope you can come to Talhenge on Monday, the spring equinox. Best wishes in your search for Venus as both the evening and the morning star in one day. Midweek might be best. Enjoy the myriad of stars and maybe some aurora. Activity levels forecast for 2 or 3 early in the week, then up to a 4 by Thursday. If I understood the dynamics that supposedly produce more aurora near the equinoxes, I'd share it with you, but I don't. So I'll just say, have a great week and keep looking up.
You've been listening to Susitna Writer's Voice, a production of Talkeetna Community Radio. You can hear these recordings anytime at ktna.org. New contributors are always welcome. You may call the station at 733-1700 for more information.